Good afternoon. This program's Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up live in our studio, we'll have a group called Strings Attached, an old-time string band who are among the many performers this season at the Landing at Kickapoo State Park in... sorry, I just forgot the name of the town. I always think of it as being at Danville. Sorry, Oakwood, Illinois. And they are going to be playing for us live, and we'll be hearing about some of those other groups that are in the music series at the Landing, Tuesdays and Fridays, as well as some Sunday afternoons. But first, I'll be talking with the music director of the Heartland Festival Orchestra. His name is David Commande. They're giving the final concert of this concert season Saturday night at Five Points Washington in Washington, Illinois, just outside Peoria. Program that's called Victorious Beethoven that includes Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Thank you.
That's the opening movement of course, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And that's going to be the final work on the concert Saturday night by the Heartland Festival Orchestra in Peoria, which is concluding its fifth season, hence the Fifth Symphony. And their music director, David Commande, is with me on the line right now to tell us a bit about that concert. Thanks for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, Kevin.
So the fifth for the fifth, and you've had a fifth thing going all season, if I remember.
Well, in the sense that we used that Roman numeral 5, the V, as a theme. So Victorious Beethoven, we had Viva Viola, and so on and so forth across the season. The 5 is of course, it's an even number, and it's our first, I suppose, big even number, but we're so grateful and happy to be able to celebrate 5 successful seasons, and all our numbers are growing. And dare I say it myself, I think that we are growing as an orchestra in our quality and in our ambitions.
Okay, talk a little bit about those ambitions.
Well, I mean, we last season and this added a sixth concert. They were a little in the pops direction last year. Doc Severinsen joined us together with the Stiletto Brass Quintet for a very, very popular program that was sold out. And this season we reinvited Barbara Padilla to perform with us. She is on the verge of releasing her first album. Folks may remember that Barbara was nearly the winner of America's Got Talent back in 2009, I want to say. And an amazing voice, an amazing performer, and she has just grown since. So we had these concerts in the past two seasons in addition to our 5 subscriptions. In planning season number 6, we have added that 6th program as part of, or a potential part of, the subscription series. So it's no longer an added late thought, but in fact we planned for it. So we're growing a little in scope, just as our ticket sales and our subscribers and our contributions have been growing along with the orchestra.
That is exciting for any organization, arts organization especially, to be able to say all those things, or any of those things, much less all those things. So congratulations to you and the orchestra and the board, who has to be heavily involved in that, I assume.
Thank you. And, of course, our fans, our supporters. And the point that I'm always reminded of is how much an orchestra is, it's a meeting of so many energies and ideas and personalities at the concert time. All of the planning, all the different roles that people play in putting something together like a symphonic concert comes together in the concert, and that includes the audience and the people that are contributing there, then, and in between. So it's really for everyone to celebrate and be proud of the accomplishment.
On this concert, you're going to feature 4 of your own members as soloists in a piece that I don't think it's terribly often heard, a Sinfonia Concertante by Joseph Haydn for violin, cello, oboe, and bassoon. You've featured your soloists in the past, your members as soloists in the past, I also assume.
We do this regularly with pride and pleasure and to the delight of our audiences. So this concert, we have concertmaster Sarah Gentry, principal cello Barbara Hedlund, John D. from Champaign-Urbana, U of I faculty on oboe, and Michael Dicker on bassoon. And they are all wonderful soloists in their own rights. And they, to the orchestra, they bring that special awareness that goes beyond being a mere soloist, that goes into chamber music and obviously into those roles within the orchestra. And they are outstanding personalities and performers.
And this piece, as far as I know, is unique in featuring that combination of instruments as soloists. I mean, it might even be unique in featuring 4 instruments as soloists.
Well, it's not unique in 4 instruments, and those will come to your mind, I know. But this particular combination, I'm not aware of another specific piece. It may exist. But this was fascinating because Haydn wrote this late in his career when he was in London, and Solomon, who was his London promoter and the man who helped get Haydn to go to London, prompted him, encouraged him to write this piece, partly in competition with Haydn's his sole major competition in terms of notoriety in London, and that was with Monsieur Pleyel, who was in fact a student of Haydn's and who was famous for this form, for this Sinfonia Concertante, this Concerto Grosso form. So he said, "Why don't you write one of these?" And Haydn did, to our pleasure and delight, all these years since.
On this program, you also have another symphony of Beethoven's, which I noted in the publicity material that I got for this concert. You rightly say is one of the lesser played of Beethoven's nine symphonies, which is to say the fourth. What made you choose this one? And why is it lesser played, do you think?
Well, the famous quote is Robert Schumann's quote, "Splendid Grecian maiden between two Nordic giants," referring to the Third Symphony and the Fifth Symphony, which in their ways made a bigger splash and a much more dramatic splash than the Fourth does. And perhaps it's just for that reason that the Fourth has been somewhat neglected. The Fourth Symphony is so cheerful in comparison to the Third and the Fifth, and because it's so consistently positive and in the major key, it's easy to misunderstand it as somehow less in ambition or less significant. The fact is that if you listen to one and then the other, for example, the Fourth and the Fifth, you'll hear features in the Fourth which are every bit as mysterious as the beginning of the scherzo or that famous bridge to the finale of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Just take the introduction to the Fourth Symphony alone, this long period of mystery, which seems to suggest that there's an earthquake or some kind of a thunderstorm about to occur. And instead, you get it breaks out into sunshine instead of the cataclysm which is promised. And that's so typically Beethovenian and so dramatic and special that we're not really shortchanged on the Beethoven quotient, even in the Fourth Symphony.
It's the Heartland Festival Orchestra giving the final concert of this season Saturday night at 7:30 at Five Points Washington in Washington, Illinois, just outside Peoria. 7:30 concert start. Beethoven's Fourth and Fifth Symphonies and a Sinfonia Concertante by Joseph Haydn. David Commandi is the music director and conductor and my guest this portion of Live and Local. I know we got to let you go. So thanks very much for taking the time.
Thanks, Kevin. It's always a pleasure.
That's the beginning of the final movement of the Fourth Symphony of Ludwig van Beethoven, a performance by the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, conducted by Nicholas Harnoncourt, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And that music will be played, of course, in its entirety by the Heartland Festival Orchestra at Five Points, Washington, Saturday night concert that starts at 7:30. For more information, and if you need a free bus ride, That's a different number. In any event, if you do need a free bus ride, they are provided. You can reserve a seat by phoning 309-339-3943. That's 309-339-3943. Otherwise, look up Heartland Festival Orchestra, and all the info you could possibly need is on their website. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. My next guests are the group called Strings Attached, and they are among the many performers participating in the Music at the Landing series. The Landing, specifically Kickapoo Landing at Kickapoo State Park near Oakwood, Illinois. And that music series started in April and continues, I think, through October.
Yes, it does.
With performances at various times during the week. And I'm looking at a larger list of performers than I have ever seen before, I think, on this series. And I want to welcome not only Strings Attached, but also one of their members who also happens to be the guy who pulls together the music series. His name is Bob Pierce, and he's the banjo player for the group. Thanks for having me on the show. Oh, it's a pleasure. I think we've made it an annual tradition now for the last
three. Well, actually, I think it was 2 years. No, I was here last year with another group.
Another group?
I was here as a guest with August Crowe.
Oh, that's right, August Crowe. We'll be hearing from August Crowe coming up in a little bit. That's right. You talked and they played.
That's right.
But you're going to talk and play.
Oh, I'm going to try to do it all.
How long has this music series been going on?
We opened up the park the concession there in 2001, and this band that you're seeing in front of you right now was the first band out there. So it's been going for a while.
So Strings Attached been going all that time, then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And before that, too.
And before that. How many bands do you have in that first year, you remember? Bands or
individual musicians? Only two or three, and they were just interspersed maybe, you know, here and there. And since then, it's grown tremendously.
Yeah, last year, I remember there when I looked at the list, it seemed like way more than the year before. And this year, I didn't count them up. But
we have 30 bands this year.
30. Now, when we say bands, we're talking about not only groups of people, but also
individuals.
Right. who are one man. I think they're all, I don't know, are there any individual women performing? I want to say they're all one-man bands in this case.
Yeah, I think you'd be correct on that. Yeah. I think the only one-man performance that we probably will have is a gentleman by the name of Hoosier Daddy is what he goes by.
Okay. And what kind of music does he do?
He does lots of popular music. He's very, very popular in the Indiana area. He has some amazing electronic stuff where he has recorded other parts and then sings with them.
Yeah, I think they call that looping or something.
Probably
like that.
Although,
does he record them on the spot?
He has some of it pre-recorded, and then he does, I think he may do some looping as well. He's He's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that was a revelation to me, that whole technique, within the last few years. But I imagine it's been going for a long time. Most of the music that I am seeing on the list of bands and individuals playing tends to be country, gospel, string band music, some bluegrass.
For the most part, it's acoustic music.
Of some kind or another.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And with the occasional electric instrument thrown in there. But yeah, it's we get a lot of bluegrass out there. We get some blues, just quite a mix.
And has it grown because more people have come to you and said, more bands have come to you and said, I really want to play in this series? Or
that is absolutely it.
That's it.
I get calls, more and more calls every year of bands and groups and individuals that want to perform out there.
Maybe some people who've gone out and heard other groups and said,
I think so. It's just a beautiful, it's a beautiful location. The crowd that comes out to listen are very appreciative. So it's just a very good scene.
What's a typical crowd at one of your shows?
Well, one of the biggest we've had actually occurred just last Friday, and we did a head count, although there was a lot of coming and going off, throughout the yard. And the head count was right around 500 people.
Really? I don't know why I thought. So what's more of the average?
More of the average would probably be around 100 or so.
That still sounds pretty good to me.
Oh, yeah.
So who was it that drew the 500?
Well, it was a kind of a coming together of a great many factors. First of all, it was a holiday weekend, of course. And then the performer was Steve Rodman with his group Rodman Rail, which is very popular over there in Danville. So he drew quite a bit of a crowd from his own name. But then the weather was just drop-dead gorgeous on Friday night. So everything came together. It was kind of the perfect storm, I suppose, for having a really big music scene.
And I hope you sold a lot of concessions.
Oh, I think it worked out pretty well.
Which is one of the points, I assume.
That's one of the points,
to
yeah.
To draw people in. Well, why don't you introduce your band and let's hear your first tune.
Okay. Well, shall we play or shall I introduce?
Introduce and then
okay.
Play.
We have Joan Sutherland, who is new with the band just in the last year, playing guitar and singing. And then we have pretty much the leader of the band, what I consider the leader of the band, is Ron Cordy, playing mandolin and doing some of the vocals.
By the way, he's shaking his head in denial about this leader of the band.
Granddaddy of the group, I guess, here is Don Thody with his great, great mellow voice and sweet rhythm guitar. And then backing us all up, holding it all together, is Bob Patterson with the upright bass. And you mentioned already, I am Bob Pierce, and I try to plunk on this banjo that I have in my lap.
And what's your first tune?
First tune we're going to do is an oldie but a goodie called Little Maggie.
Away her troubles.
Maggie, played here by Strings Attached, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They're playing this coming Sunday.
That's correct.
At The Landing at Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood, or outside Oakwood, or near Oakwood.
It's near Oakwood.
Near Oakwood. Which, and you get there from the Oakwood exit?
That's the easiest way to come from this direction. If you're on Interstate 74, you get off at exit 206, which says Oakwood. You go north just a little bit and follow the signs into Kickapoo State Park.
And Landing is pretty near there? Are there signs also to the Landing?
When you get into the park, there are signs pointing toward the concession. But we're pretty obvious as you – just after you cross the Middle Fork of the Vermilion River Bridge, you'll see a large lake. And you'll see our buildings just out across that lake and hopefully a huge crowd of people there listening to music.
But, of course, somebody's got to be the first one.
Well, that's true.
To make the crowd. So one of those the old phrase, you can't miss it. The directions. Those are always the things I never want to hear when somebody's giving me directions. You can't miss it. Like, oh, yes, I can, with great ease. So the Landing series, a music series, The Landing, as I said earlier, started up in April and is happening in May now. But it really starts to get busy in June when the full schedule opens up.
Right. Because at both the beginning and the end of that music schedule, we're only open on weekends, but between Memorial Day and Labor Day, we're open 7 days a week. And also in between those times, because of demand from bands wanting to play out there, this year we've additionally opened up Sundays. So you were right in seeing that there are a lot more bands out there this year from last year.
So starting Sunday, which of course is the 1st of June, the schedule is Sundays from 2 to 4.
That's correct.
And then Tuesday and Friday from 5:30 to 7:30. So any of those times, you can expect that there'll be music.
That's right.
June, July, and August.
That's right. And we've got some really fine bands lined up out there.
I was going to ask if you have favorites, but that's not fair, is it?
Really, every group out there has their own special niche. But I see these guys poking at me right now. Of course, I have a favorite band. It's Strings Attached.
Yeah. Well, it's your favorite band to play in, anyway.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Do you play in any other band?
Not really. Although there are many occasions where I've had the tremendous pleasure of being invited to sit in with some of the other bands
as
that play
a guest
out there.
Artist.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. What about the rest of you? Is this your gig, or are there other gigs as well? Ron, since you're the leader of the band,
yeah,
de facto leader.
This is basically my gig, yeah.
And has been for how long?
20 years.
Yeah, probably.
And
so.
that's essentially the length of time this group's been together?
Right. The three of us here have been, Don and Bob and me have been together for about 20 years, I guess, since
pretty
93,
close.
I think.
Pretty close.
And Bob, do you have any other groups that you moonlight with? Don, sorry?
Oh, no, not really. Just once in a while jam someplace with a group, you know. You get together jamming different places around the country.
Around the country?
Oh, yeah.
Countryside.
Yeah, right. You know,
travel the world.
Not generally all the time, but, you know, occasionally I get together with some guys and jam some down Arthur or something was going on like that.
So we're talking about not around the country of the United States of America, but around the countryside that is in central Illinois. So.
Not very much, but yeah. Some jamming.
Yeah, a little bit.
And, I'm too old to jam too much.
And Joan, as the newbie to this group, one of the two guitarists now, what's your background? Because I've asked these guys this question before, but what's your background that brought you to Strings Attached?
Well, I'm trying to get used to the word gig because most of my playing has been for the Catholic Church and being asked to sing for weddings and things like that.
And they don't do gigs.
I've never referred to it as a gig. But these lovely gentlemen invited me to be a part of the group after I kind of imposed myself on them at my daughter's engagement party they played for her. And I had heard them play several years ago. I really don't know how long ago it was, but several years ago. And they must have played the Tennessee Waltz. And I always thought when I get near retiring, that I hope that I can play and sing with them. And so I did sing with them at the engagement party and sang the Tennessee Waltz. And then after that, they said, well, we practice on this night every week and come and join us. So that's how it all.
And that was it.
Uh-huh.
You don't look to be near retirement, though.
I'm close.
Strings Attached will be at the Kickapoo Landing on Sunday, so that's going to be from 2 to 4. Bob Pierce mentioned earlier a group that was here about a year ago when he was also here to talk about last year's music series, and that group is called August Crow, and by group I mean in this case a duo consisting of a Jose Agusti and I just lost his name again.
Dave Crowley.
Dave Crowley, thanks very much. I got, as usual, too many pieces of paper here. And Jose's been on a number of times before, so he's a little bit easier for me to remember. And their name comes together because of the August part, Agusti, and the Crow part, Crowley. And they'll be playing at the Landing next Tuesday. And we do have here a recording of when they were here on our show. Last. This, I think, was the second tune they played while they were playing live for us, and it's a Bob Dylan one. Tomorrow is a Long Time. Here's August Crow. They were live on Live and Local about a year ago, and you're hearing them again today on FM 90.9.
Was not an endless highway. If tonight was not a crooked trail. If tomorrow wasn't such a long time, then lonesome would mean nothing to me at all. Yes, if only if my own true love was waiting. If I could only hear her heart softly pounding. She was lying by me, then I'd lie in my bed once again. I can't see my reflection in the mirror. I can't speak the words to show no pain. I can't hear echo of my footsteps or remember the sound of my own name. Yes, if only if my own true love was waiting. If I could only hear her heart softly pounding. If only if she was lying by me, then I'd lie in my bed once again. There's beauty in the silver singing river. There's beauty in that rainbow in the sky. But none of these and nothing else can touch the beauty that I remember in my true love's eyes. Yes, and only if my own true love was waiting, if I could only hear her heart softly pounding, if only if she was lying by me, then I'd lie in my bed once again. Yes, and only if my own true love was waiting, if I could only hear her heart softly pounding, if only if she was lying by me, then I'd lie in my bed once again.
That's Bob Dylan's tune, Tomorrow is a Long Time, as sung by the duo called August Crow, Jose Agusti and Dave Crowley, here on Live and Local. They were on Live and Local. That was actually a live performance here in our studio from about a year ago. And they'll be playing at the Landing at Kickapoo State Park near Danville, near Oakwood, this coming Tuesday, the 3rd. On that music series, and the Tuesdays and Friday shows are from 5:30 to 7:30, and pleased to have a chance to heard that again from a year ago here on Live and Local. We've got some other live musicians with us who are called Strings Attached. They're a string band going to be playing at the Landing this coming Sunday performances from 2 to 4. Our programs on FM 90.9 today are made possible, as always, with the support of the Friends of WYLL, and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. And after we were just talking with Joan Sutherland of since this is mostly a classical music station, when I say Joan Sutherland, many people, if not most, are going to make certain assumptions. We have not brought the famous operatic soprano back from the dead. But we do have a guitar-playing soprano. Or you are a soprano, right?
Kind of mezzo.
Kind of mezzo-ish, yeah. she was saying that her debut with the band was singing the Tennessee Waltz. And I hadn't realized that was on your list for today.
We hope to do that one. Yeah, shall we just?
You might as well just do it right now.
It,
I mean, I think that's inevitable.
That build up.
Yeah, that's right.
Want to count into 2, 3, 1, 2. Key of G.
Yeah.
Key of G. There we go.
This is interesting, isn't it? This happens with live music every once in a while.
That's right. In case you had any doubt that this was a live show.
Different keys. It's exciting.
I thought that was the right key. Let's work on that a little bit.
Huh? No, let's do it.
Okay.
One, two.
You start.
Three, one, two.
Darling, to the Tennessee Waltz, when an old friend I happened to see, I introduced him. to my loved one. And while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling.
Joan Sutherland and Strings Attached here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's one of those songs that just oozes nostalgia. I don't know if oozes is a good word, but I suddenly just looked up at you guys and I was imagining that I could see memories in your heads while you're playing that. Did I imagine right?
Well, probably so. Probably so. I mean, that goes way back to... It was actually written a long time before Patti Page recorded it and made it really, really famous. So that's an old song.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to hear. I'm going to assume that most of your tunes for this group are older ones.
Pretty much. And Don was talking earlier about going to jams. One of the wonderful things about bluegrass music is you can go almost anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world, and there seems to be a certain grouping of songs that bluegrassers all tend to go to. And because of that, you can sit in with groups from anywhere, and you're right there. You can join in.
As long as you're in the right key.
That's true. That's true. Well, you can join in even if you're not in the right key.
We proved that.
That's right.
Usually they claim that's the banjo player that's wrong, but not in this case.
Well, you know, banjos are meant to be picked on.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Are there, within string bands or bluegrass groups, are there certain instruments that tend to be the butt of the jokes? Is it usually the banjo player?
It's the banjo player, yeah, without a doubt.
Because in the symphony orchestra, it's typically the viola player for reasons I'm not really sure on. If it isn't the conductor. As I've said before, the conductor jokes are the meanest jokes, probably because they're the most heartfelt on the part of the orchestra. So your group, Strings Attached, has two guitarists now, Don Thody and Joan Sutherland. How do your roles differ?
Well, she plays a little bit different style than I do, I think. I just play rhythm, and she's picking it up better all the time. She never played much bluegrass to start with, I don't think. So this is something new for her.
But, I mean, often if you have a two-guitar band, there'll be somebody who does play rhythm guitar and somebody who plays either does the solos or plays more melodically or... I've noticed in some groups that, you know, for much of the time, there'll be two rhythm guitars. You'd be doing almost the same thing, like in, what was the band that I just saw pretty recently that did that? Gypsy music. So what do you see your role as, Joan, guitaristically? When he says you're evolving, what's your
I think that
imagining?
That's a good word, is evolving, trying to find my place. Some of the songs, I might be able to pick up some plucking that adds some nuance. But that's slowly, you know, feeding into things as I gain some confidence in playing with them and learning their music.
By the way, nice song, nice singing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was nice to hear. We have another group that is quite different from what we've heard so far, who have appeared at the Landing series for at least as long as I've been aware of it. I don't know how long Timber Train has been on the series.
They came maybe 3 or 4 years into the music out there. I'm not absolutely certain.
Yeah, so they've been probably playing there about a decade.
Could be.
Something
yeah,
like
could
that.
Be.
And here's one. Well, you'll recognize this tune pretty quickly. This is a group called Timber Train, as recorded at the Landing?
No, this was not a recording at the Landing. I think they actually went over to somebody's house and got
made
this
a record.
Recorded.
Okay. Timber Train here on Live and Local.
He was a famous trumpet man from out Chicago way. It really brought him down because he could not jam. The captain seemed to understand, because the next day the captain went out and drafted the band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy and company B. A root, a two, a tootly attitude. He blows at 8 to the bar in boogie woogie rhythm. Can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar's playing with him. And the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy at Company B. He was some boogie woogie bugle boy at Company B. And when he played his boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a busy bee. And when he played, he made the company jump 8 to the bar. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy at Company B. And not a toodly yada, toodly yada, toot toot, he blows at 8 to the bar. He can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is playing with him. When he jumps, when he plays reveille, he's a boogie woogie bugle boy at Company B. He puts the boys to sleep with boogie every night and wakes them up the same way in the early night. He plants their hands, stamp their feet, because they know how it goes when someone gives them a beat. Whoa, whoa, he wakes them up when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy at Company B. A root, a two, a tootly attitude. He blows an 8 to the bar and boogie woogie. Bass and guitar playing with him. And the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy at Company B. He was some boogie woogie bugle boy at Company B.
A group called Timber Train, and you recognize that tune, of course, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They're going to be playing at the Kickapoo Landing late in June on the 29th. That's a Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4, and they've been there for some years playing. And Bob Pierce, who's the banjo player with the group who is live with us today, strings attached and is the coordinator for the music series. Who are the members of that group?
Of Timber Train,
yeah.
Timber Train is Rick Kidd, who many people know as the guy who's always behind the desk at Armstrong Lumber right here in Urbana.
Okay.
And then his wife Carolyn, who is plays keyboard and sings, and then a neighbor or friend of theirs, Carolyn White. And on that cut you just played, I believe Carolyn was singing the lead parts. And Nancy was singing the harmony, and you could hear Rick in the background with the guitar. Most of the time when they perform out there at the park, you'll hear Rick's wonderful baritone voice singing the lead on a lot of the songs that they do.
And they do a mix of musical styles.
Yeah, it's very, very eclectic.
Yeah. And yours, you refer to your group as bluegrass. Is that... It seemed to me that you had a repertoire
a, we
that
have
comes
a mix
from various
too.
Places.
We have a yeah. mix, too. Don even likes to throw in some old 40s, I don't know, crooner kind of stuff and the occasional country song, a little bit of everything, a little bit of everything.
So which of that little bit have we got next?
Well, we're going to do one that was recorded by a bluegrass group that is no more, and it was written by their leader, Bob Amos. It's kind of a love song, but as originally was recorded by a bluegrass group. It's called Way Back in the Mountains.
And that group was?
That group was called Front Range.
Front Range, and it's played here by Strings Attached.
Way back in the mountains.
Strings Attached, featuring in that song the melodious voice of Don Thody, who's one of the two guitarists in the band. The other is Joan Sutherland. On mandolin, it's Ron Cordy. Bass, Bob Patterson. And banjo, Bob Pierce. And Bob Pierce also runs a summer music series. Well, spring, summer, and fall music series at the Kickapoo Landing at Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood. Strings Attached will play there this coming Sunday from 2 to 4. And who's there tomorrow night? I didn't bring my main
tomorrow
schedule.
Tomorrow night is another local bluegrass band, Black Ridge Road.
Black Ridge Road, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever
I
had
think
them
they may actually have been on this radio show at one point.
Could
I
be.
Sort of and then I've got the Dune schedule. We can sort of rattle off. We mentioned August Crowe earlier. They'll be there next Tuesday. Next Friday, it's New Riders of the Golden Maze. And you can get the rest of the schedule by simply going to the Kickapoo State Park website and look for the music series on the landing. And it's all there, including descriptions of all the bands, what kind of music they play. So you can decide, oh, I want to go hear this one, or nah, I'll skip that one. Or but there's surely no one you would want to skip, at least.
Oh, no. You don't want to miss any.
Not voluntarily.
And amazingly, we have some regular folks who come out there almost every time. It's really pretty amazing. I mean, even if I lived next door, if I didn't work there, I don't know that I would be there every time. But there are those who are out there on a very, very regular basis.
So it's got to be a pleasant place to be.
Oh, it's
and
a wonderful
great place.
Place
to hear music.
And it's become like a big family out there.
Check it out. Thanks all very much for coming on the show today. It's great to hear you again.
Oh, thank you for inviting us.
And thanks to everybody for joining us on the show today. On tomorrow's program, we'll preview The Brothers Size, which is a play that opens actually tonight at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, and the rest of the theater series this summer that's happening at Krannert. And then also, we'll hear about the Peoria Bach Festival, which starts on Monday. This is 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. Thanks for listening.